Chapter 22. Every step Cloud took down the mountain path made him want to cry with frustration, knowing he'd just have to climb back up again. Every extra moment they spent on the frozen slopes increased their chances of not making it to the top at all, and their odds had been pretty bad to start with. A horrible, nasty little part of Cloud wanted to just keep going, insisting that Zack was surely already dead if he'd been foolish enough to sit down to rest in the snow, and there was no point in Cloud and Sephiroth dying as well. He did his best to ignore that internal voice, grateful that Sephiroth didn't try to talk him out of going back for Zack. He wasn't sure he could have won the argument with both himself and his guardian. Cloud's voice quickly grew hoarse from shouting Zack's name into the wind, and his throat ached from breathing in air so cold it felt like razors slicing the tender flesh to ribbons. He might as well have saved his breath, because Zack never answered. In the end, they literally tripped over Zack, otherwise they never would have found him. The Islander had fallen to one side of the path, stretched out and already mostly covered by falling snow. His exposed skin was terrifyingly pale when they rolled him over, and his breath was hardly misting in the air. "We must get him warm," Sephiroth said, and the green energy of a healing spell was already gathering around his hands. Reaching deep inside, Cloud summoned Evned yet again. The fiery Aeon complained bitterly at being dragged once more into the cold, but he came, and the heat he radiated quickly melted the snow around them. For a horrible moment, Cloud thought they were too late, but then Zack groaned and his eyes fluttered open. "What happened?" Zack mumbled, his words slurred with cold. "You passed out," Cloud told him, his voice tight. "I know you're exhausted, Zack, but you can't stop moving. You can't rest, even for a moment."
"I'm so tired," Zack complained, and his words were faint. "I'm not even that cold anymore. I just want to sleep. Can't we make camp for a little while?"
"If you sleep, you will die," Sephiroth told him. "It's not that much further."
"You've been saying that for, like, the last hour," Zack said. "I don't believe you anymore. Can't we just keep Evned with us, like you did with Ekia on the Thunderplains?"
Miserably, Cloud shook his head. On the plains, Ekia was literally in his element. Every lightning strike gave him power. Out here, Evned is suffering from the cold even more than we are. If I keep him out too long, he starts taking damage, and the power to heal him has to come from within me. I'll keel over if I try to keep him with us. I'm sorry. Even now, he could feel the drain on his energy, and he knew he'd have to release Evned soon. Zack sighed and closed his eyes again.
"I can't. I'm so tired. You guys go on ahead of me. I'll catch up to you after just a few minutes to rest."
"No, Zack, you have to get up," Cloud said, tugging at his arm. "I'm not leaving you behind, so if you don't get up, you're going to get me killed too. Come on your feet." Sephiroth grabbed Zack's other arm and pulled as well, and between the two of them, they managed to get Zack on his feet. Unfortunately, it was clear he wasn't going to stay there long under his own power.
"Can you carry him?" Cloud asked Sephiroth desperately. "I can keep the fiends off us, if you can just get him moving."
He knew it was futile, even before Sephiroth shook his head.
"I'm not in much better shape,"
Sephiroth admitted, and then he said the words Cloud had been dreading.
"It may not be possible to bring him with us if we want to survive."
"No!" Cloud broke in fiercely. "No, I am not leaving him to die. That is not an option. And don't tell me that I have to face the fact that I might have to make sacrifices. It isn't happening. I'll find a way to keep Evned with us, or you can keep casting fire spells or something. But I'm not giving up. Not when we're this close." Sephiroth opened his mouth, and the look on his face suggested he was about to deliver a lecture. But they were both distracted when the wind seemed to blow a new voice to them. "Hello?" someone shouted, far enough away that Cloud could barely be certain he was actually hearing words, and not just the whispers of the wind. "Is someone up there?"
"Another summoner's party?" Cloud exclaimed.
If so, they may be as much of a threat to us as the fiends or the cold,
Sephiroth cautioned him.
Yeah, but they also might be the only chance Zack has to survive,
Cloud countered. He raised his voice, wincing as his already sore throat protested further.
Hey, up here, can you hear me?
The voice came again, a little closer and easier to make out this time.
I'm coming! Please just stay there!
The please startled him, but Cloud understood why when two forms came around the switchback in the path below them. One person was clearly supporting the other, both of them so bundled up it was hard to tell if they were male or female, or even if they were both Spearin.
Please,
the one hauling the other said, voice muffled by layers of scarves wrapped around their face. Her face. She was close enough now that Cloud could tell the voice was female.
Female and familiar? Tifa?
He exclaimed, shocked. Sure enough, the stranger made a similar startled noise.
Cloud, is that you? How in the name of Yevon did you get here ahead of us? How did you manage to get here at all? I thought they were going to execute you for sure.
She drew close enough that Cloud could see her companion was Lady Aerith. Of course. And that the summoner was badly hurt. There was blood soaking through one side of her jacket. And considering how many layers it looked like she was bundled up in, she must have lost a lot of blood.
Seth, help her, Cloud ordered.
Sephiroth, of course, just gave him a dark look.
It is not our place.
Never mind the stupid rules, Seth,
Cloud said impatiently.
They're friends. They stuck their own necks out to testify for me at the trial. And anyway, they will have all kinds of supplies. They're our best chance to save Zack.
Tifa had apparently drawn close enough to hear his last words.
We're out of potions, and I don't know any white magic, but we've got lots of food,
she panted, as she dragged Aerith's unresponsive body the last few feet between them.
If you heal her, we'll split it with you.
That seemed to convince Sephiroth, as he gestured for her to set Aerith down next to Zack, and leaned down to cast more healing magic over both of them. Cloud resummoned Evned, heating up the area again, and Tifa gave a grateful sigh and crowded close.
Wow, that's handy. Why didn't we think of that? Aerith can summon outside of battle. Sweet faith, Cloud, what are you wearing?
Tifa demanded, aghast as she got a good look at his scant, by Calmlander standards, clothing.
You know better than that. All three of you don't have nearly enough layers. No wonder Zack is down.
It was all we could afford, Cloud admitted, hanging his head. They didn't exactly shower us with Gil on our way out of Bavel, Tifa. We escaped, with nothing but the clothes on our backs, pretty much.
Oh.
Her voice was small, and when he looked up at her, her expression was shamed.
Cloud, I'm really sorry about everything, but especially about the way I acted before.
She looked up at Evned and grimaced.
You just saved my life, and there I was having a fit about an Albed summoner.
You've reacted better than nearly every other spirit in existence, Cloud snorted, looking towards the others. Present company accepted, but they're pretty much the only exceptions.
Yeah, but I knew you, Tifa countered. It's not like I believe you'd profane the temples or coerce the faith. Our whole lives I've watched everyone we know blame you and your mother for pretty much everything that's ever gone wrong. From accidental deaths to killer blizzards to the cows going dry. And now the whole world is doing the same thing to you. I'm ashamed I was a part of that.
The strain of keeping Evned healed from the damage the cold was causing was too much, and Cloud had to release him again. He did his best not to shiver noticeably as the cold air swept back around them, but Tifa must have noticed, because she unwrapped her top layer and handed the jacket and scarf to him. He flushed, but took them gratefully.
I really don't blame you, he assured her. I'm only glad that you've changed your mind. You've always been just about my only friend.
Even if I hadn't already had some sense talked into me by Lady Aerith, I'd like to think I'd have come around when I saw the horrible way the priests were conducting your trial, she said, scowling at the memory. That is not the behavior we're taught will bring the world forgiveness and end sin. I always thought the priests would be, well, holier than that.
There were so many things Cloud wanted to say to that. Things about the faith, and Yevon, and the whole endless cycle of it all. But he bit his tongue, because the last thing he wanted to do now was alienate her again. Just because she was mad at the priests didn't mean she was ready to turn against Yevon himself. The priests are just people, when it all comes down to it, he said. People can be corrupted, or just selfish. Sometimes the worst sins are committed by the people who think they're being the most righteous. I only hope it's not too late to stop the war between the Spirans and the Albed. You've changed, Tifa said, giving him an odd half-smile. You used to be so shy, and you always seemed, I don't know, depressed. Even when I saw you before, on the road, it was like you were being dragged along by events as much as moving under your own power. Now you have strength and purpose. I guess being a summoner has been good for you. That made Cloud laugh despite himself, a short, harsh sound. Well, if I'd known all it would take is getting driven nearly to death by the faith, hunted and tormented by the priests, and watching the world tear itself apart over hatred and prejudice, I'd have done it years ago. He regretted his words the moment he saw Tifa wince. Sorry. It was his turn to apologize. That came out sounding worse than I meant it to. I should have just said thank you. The moment might have turned painfully awkward, but thankfully Aerith sighed and stirred, opening her eyes. She gasped when she saw Sephiroth kneeling over her, hand flying to cover her mouth. Oh, Lord Sephiroth, what, where?
Your guardian managed to keep you alive until she reached us, Sephiroth said, offering her a hand up. You were very lucky.
Zack was also on his feet, and looking a little better, but the sickly pallor of his skin said it was only a temporary fix.
Hey, the more the merrier, he said, his voice a rasp that preceded a nasty coughing fit. Don't suppose you know any spells to make it stop snowing?
Aerith, can you summon Michael? Tifa broke in. Cloud had Evned earlier, and he was keeping everything warm, but I guess it's too much of a drain to hold him?
Yes, but I won't be able to keep him with me long either, Aerith said uncertainly.
Nor can I hold Hod, not even a fraction as long as Cloud can, Sephiroth said, but he was smiling as he said it. However, with you and I taking turns to give Cloud a chance to catch his breath between summons, I think we can keep the Aeon active often enough to prevent us all from freezing, especially if, as your guardian claimed, you have extra warm gear you can lend us.
Travel together? Aerith asked, eyes going wide. Is that permitted? Of course we'll give you equipment and supplies. It's the least we can do after you've saved us twice. But are we allowed to help each other that much?
If the Aeons don't object, that means the Faith don't care, Cloud said firmly. Any other rules about the journey are imposed by the priests. At this point, I think I've broken just about every rule they have, so I'm not really worried about one more. To his surprise, Aerith giggled a little, dimpling at him as she smiled.
I suppose that's true enough. I promise, when we reach Xanarkand, I'll let you try to get the final Aeon first. I think it's important that you finish what you've started, and I'll be honored to help you do it.
It didn't take long for them to divvy up the extra supplies Tifa and Aerith had carried with them. An extra woolen shirt and two more scarves did a lot to help Cloud feel warmer. So did the fact that they were able to summon Evned, or the equivalent Aeon Sephiroth and Aerith carried, far more often with the three of them sharing the energy drain. Zack still looked more than half frozen, but he was able to stay on his feet and keep moving with only a little help from Tifa. With five of them working together, they were able to make short work of the fiends as well. When they finally broke through the end of the storm, it happened so abruptly it felt unnatural. Fog surrounded them, glowing faintly blue in an eerie way that lit the path, and in the suddenly quiet air, the hymn of the faith rang, soft but clear.
The hymn? Aerith exclaimed, puzzled. Why are we hearing the hymn? Are we at Xanarkand already? I thought it was on the other side of the mountain, not the top.
Zack and Tifa exchanged a look, clearly baffled by her comment, but Sephiroth didn't look surprised.
Well, he wouldn't, Cloud realized. He'd been here before, which meant he already knew what they were about to find. He did arch a brow at Cloud, who shrugged without a word. Then they rounded a corner and found the faith. Not just a faith. Dozens, perhaps hundreds of them, their twisted forms frozen forever into a carving that covered the cliff wall for nearly as far as the eye could see. The whole carving glowed blue, mist rolling off it to cover the path. The hymn was still quiet, but so strong it seemed to vibrate through Cloud's body. A thousand voices lifted in eternal harmony.
"What is this place?"
Zack asked, staring at the carvings with a fascinated look on his face. "These are the survivors of Xanarkand," Cloud told him. "Just like the faith in the temples, they volunteered to protect Spira and all its peoples. They saved my life once, when I was lost on the mountain. They showed me what Xanarkand used to be, when it was more than just a ghost city, and they made me promise to come back someday, as a summoner."
"These faith are being used," Aerith said, reaching out to touch the carvings with one hand. "Someone is summoning with them, but so many. Is this the source of the final Aeon? Is that how it has the power to beat Sin?"
"Wait, you mean we're too late?" Zack said. "Someone beat us to it? Damn it! Did we go through all this for nothing?"
"It is not the final Aeon who calls upon their power," Sephiroth replied, his voice heavy, almost weary. "I don't know what is, exactly. It's not the sort of thing that has ever been properly studied, for the obvious reason that almost everyone who has ever seen it dies soon afterwards. But I have my suspicions."
"All those years ago, you told everyone the faith had saved you, and everyone thought you just hallucinated in the cold." Tifa turned to Cloud, subdued. "I never believed you either. I'm sorry. I seem to be apologizing a lot today, aren't I?"
"You didn't need to give the last apology, and you don't need to give this one," Cloud said firmly.
"I mean it, Tifa. Even I doubted my sanity sometimes. The story just made no sense. How could anyone possibly believe it? But when I saw Veilfor's faith in Bessade, I knew it was all true."
He looked up at Sephiroth, saw the darkness in the older man's eyes. Cloud had suspicions about what these faith were summoning as well. They told him their power was being used to create a dream of Xanarkand that was. But where was that dream? What being could possibly use that kind of power? Surely only Yevon himself, or perhaps Sin.
"We must keep moving," Sephiroth said, turning away from the glowing carvings. "Xanarkand isn't far now."
He seemed to hesitate for a moment, then rested one hand on Cloud's shoulder, squeezing gently.
"Prepare yourself," he said softly, his voice meant for Cloud alone. "You must have the resolve to see this through to the end."
"I will," Cloud promised him, just as softly, but no less fierce for lack of volume. "I've come this far. I can't let you, or the faith, down now."
He tried very hard not to think about the fact that being so close to the end of his journey also meant being so close to the end of his life. He'd known going in that this would literally be the death of him. He just had to make sure his death meant something.
The lost city of Xanarkand turned out to be hauntingly beautiful in a desolate way. The five of them approached it as the sun was setting in the west, and the pyreflies that streamed all around it shone faintly in the twilight. Cloud had seen the memory of the city in its prime, as recreated by the Faith, and if he squinted, he could see the skeletal bones of that city in the ruins before him now. Part of him wanted to suggest they stop and make camp, rest up for the night, and make the final approach to the city in the light of day. But he knew that was a cop-out, the coward's way out. Better to get it over with, lest his resolve waver after all. It was hard enough to keep putting one foot in front of the other, knowing he was marching towards his death.
Oddly, it comforted him a little when he glanced over and saw that Aerith was visibly nervous as well. She caught him looking and flashed him a shaky smile. Somehow he managed one of his own in return and felt a connection with her in that moment. She'd offered to let him try first, but that still meant if he failed, it would be her turn to attempt to summon the final Aeon, and then she would be the one to die. Sephiroth was also looking pensive. That wasn't unusual for him, but there was a regretful quality to his brooding that wasn't normal. Cloud badly wanted to ask him what was on his mind, but he knew if Sephiroth had wanted to share the information, he already would have done so. As Cloud stepped onto the broken road that led through the city, he heard voices coming from ahead of them, too distant for the words to be understood. He jumped and picked up his pace. Had someone beaten them here after all? Rounding a corner, he saw two figures ahead of him, apparently arguing. The young women were ghostly and pale. He could see the ruins right through them, and swarms of pyreflies obscured their edges. "If it might benefit the future of Spira, I will gladly give my life," he heard one of them declare. "It is the highest honor for which a guardian might ask. Use my life, Lady Yokun, and rid Spira of sin." In the next moment, they vanished entirely, and Cloud felt a shiver run down his spine. "What was that?" Tifa exclaimed.
"There are more pyreflies here than everywhere else on Spira combined," Sephiroth informed them. "The whole city has effectively become an image sphere. And, like a sphere, it records and replays events that have occurred within it. The more emotional the memory, the longer it will linger."
"She said Lady Yokun," Aerith murmured, eyes wide. "High Summoner Yokun? What did she mean, use my life?" Sephiroth said nothing, but Cloud was getting a horrible feeling in the pit of his stomach. At the center of the city was the shattered dome of a ruined Blitz stadium. Cloud only knew what it was because it resembled the one in Lucca, and because he'd seen it in the memory Xanarkand of the Faith. As they approached the entrance, three more ghostly figures appeared on the steps. Somebody gasped. It might have been Cloud himself, but he couldn't be certain. These phantoms he recognized. The real version of one of them was standing right beside him, and another had given his life to save Cloud just a few days before. It was Sephiroth and his guardians, as they had been 10 years ago. They were visibly upset in different ways, frightened, angry, and distraught. Whatever it was they had faced in Xanarkand, it looked like it had been very bad indeed. Bad enough that Anjael had described it as a cursed place. Bad enough that Sephiroth had warned him no summoner had ever become High Summoner without losing at least one guardian. Yet he clearly still had both of his here with him at this point. Cloud tried very hard not to let his imagination run away with him, but it was difficult. Whatever it was that awaited them in Xanarkand, whatever the final faith demanded of summoners, it was obviously very bad indeed.